shall not be ashamed. Now there's a whole lot more to confession than just saying, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. Now, if a confession is not a spirit work, it's not worth a dime. Not worth a copper, put it that way. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, 3, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now that's just like Paul writing about circumcision and about a Jew. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. Now there's two points in that. The natural Israel is called Jews by them and by everybody else. But in the eyes of God, a real Jew is one that's a Jew inwardly, that's been circumcised in heart. And a true confession is from the heart and by the Spirit. If it's not, it's not worth a dime. But now modernists take advantage of that, and they misinterpret it and misuse it by their misinterpretation. And by that, they fool people, deceive people. I don't want to be in their shoes. No. All right, let's look at Acts 3, 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, showing that it's going to be from Israel, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. Whatsoever he shall say unto you, whatsoever he shall say unto you, and that's what he's talking about here, that you're to obey him in whatever he says unto you. Well, let's think about what he said when he was baptized, and after he had survived the temptation of the devil, coming down from the mountain. What did he say? The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So this man that was raised up like unto Moses from among the Israelites was Jesus, who preached his own everlasting gospel, and he started out with repentance. All right? And he said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And another thing he said about this prophet, whosoever will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Every soul, he said, which will not hear that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. And you know what happened over at his baptism, don't you? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. So, that's where he started his ministry. Another thing, Hebrews 1 and 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. But I'd like for you to notice now Hebrews 9, 25, 26, and we're going to pass on. Talking about the offerings of the high priest under the law and the ceremonial worship of the Jews. And their offerings were every year that the high priest would enter into the temple with the blood of others and offer for the sins of the people, which was just ceremonial. And he said, "Now yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." Wouldn't that be something? Now the priest back yonder, the high priest back yonder in their services just showed forth by their services the permanence of the offering of the sacrifice of Christ when he came into the world. And he said, "Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Any questions before we pass to another article? If not, our next article of faith, being the ninth, is God's purpose of grace. Now we're going to get into some deep things tonight. We may not be able to wait it, but we're going to try. I want to read this article. Let's pay close attention. "We believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which he graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners, that being perfectly consistent with the free agency of man, it comprehends all the means in connection with the end, that it is the most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable, that it utterly excludes boasting and promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, and active imitation of his free mercy, that it encourages the use of means in the highest degree, that it may be ascertained by its effect in all who truly believe the gospel, that it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence." You know, there's a whole lot in that article. A lot in that article. Let's consider it. The first point: we believe that election is the eternal purpose of God, according to which election? According to which election? He graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves sinners. Now, if you've ever studied very much history of Baptists, written by Baptists, you know how much division has occurred in various places over this one article. In fact, it caused a division among the Baptists. It lasted for a good while. And I think a false interpretation, the wrong understanding of what election really is all about. Of course, that's exactly what caused the division. Now, I believe in election, but I don't believe in unconditional election. Now, that's what brought about the division. There were a few among Baptist people up in Virginia, North Carolina, and it even ventured right, well, North Carolina was Tennessee. Tennessee today used to be North Carolina. And it got into North Carolina, and even into this section. There were some that held to the idea the Senate didn't have to do anything. Unconditional, all conditions on the part of God. And there were others that said there were conditions that had to be met, and so that brought about the division. And they finally came together and called themselves United Baptists. We won't have time to go into that entire history tonight, but I just want to drop that in. It all came up, came up over this very thing. Now let's look at 2 Timothy, because we're going to deal with the scriptures and not opinion. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that is a little bit touchy, isn't it? If you don't rightly divide it. And notice the grammar that's in this verse of scripture. What was that was given us before the world began? Grace. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us before the world began. Now, of course, grace was from eternity. The covenant of God's grace was from the beginning. Everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by grace. And that started in the beginning. And that's what he's talking about here. And that grace was given in Christ before the world began. All that agreement was entered into between the Godhead before Adam ever existed, before he was ever made. And that is according to the wisdom of God. All right, notice Ephesians 1, 3, and 14. There's another one that cripples some people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Now, Christ is the only Savior the world has ever had. Amen. And God made the choice of Jesus Christ for all humanity. That he is the way of salvation for all mankind. And that's exactly what he means right here. He chosen us in him, in Christ. And that goes back to the beginning of the world. Not that the choice was made of God unconditionally, as we're going to find a little bit later on by comparing Scripture with Scripture, but on condition. Notice this, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now look at this next scripture. Who is Paul talking to when he wrote to the church at Ephesus? Well, he's talking to believers. Saved people, not sinners. Now then, look at this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption, in other words, with a view to the adoption, it hasn't happened yet. Not yet. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And that's what was given from the beginning. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's a little bit different to what is offered unsaved people today, that they can accept Christ. God accepts us, or we're not in His family. All right. I want to say a little more about this predestination. Predestination belongs only to the body of believers, not the soul. The body is that that's adopted. And this scripture said we are predestinated unto, or with a view to, the adoption by Jesus Christ. So predestination is to the believer and not to the unbeliever. It takes place in time. All right, at the end, rather. Look at the next one. No, we're not through with that. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, as far as the plan of salvation is concerned, from beginning to end, all of it is in accord with His will. Not my will or your will, but God's will. And according to His pleasure, He designed that plan of salvation for His own glory and His honor. And we are the participants, our receivers of His blessings by His divine grace. Now, let's look a little further and find some conditions here. All right, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now that comes first. In other words, repentance is a condition to faith. They're inseparable. And a person who has met that condition of repentance automatically are able to believe. God gives them the ability to believe. They can't do it on their own. And as we studied here the other night, no sinner on his own would ever come to God No sinner on his own would ever try to do any better. God has to make him better or he never will be better.
Amen.
But God furnishes the gospel. When it is preached, the Spirit accompanies that truth and reproves that sinner. So when you go right back, it's God all the way and it's grace all the way. But there are conditions that have to be met. All right. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Not before, but after. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed. God takes care of that. With the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, brethren, that's long enough. The redemption of the purchased possession is going to be the resurrection. And when God saves a person, when they meet that condition and are able to trust in Jesus Christ, they have a possession the devil just can't take away from them.
Amen.
God keeps that. Peter said, we're kept by the power of God. We don't keep ourselves. If it's left up to us to keep ourselves, we have one of us would lose it.
Amen.
But we're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. And this simply says that this is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now that body's not been redeemed, but it will be redeemed at the resurrection and be made just like the glorified body of the Son of God. And this will be the consummation of the plan of redemption. And that unto the praise of His glory. Now, these bodies of ours are purchased. The soul is born again. Born of God. Born of the Holy Spirit. Born of the Word. But these bodies of ours are purchased. You know, Paul said, you're bought with a price. What is that price? The death of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, this body, after he has purchased it, is just as much his as the soul is when it's born again. But it's not been redeemed yet. But the promise is so certain, God can't lie, and it'll come out of the grave and be made like unto his glorious body. All right. Notice 1 Peter, and we'll see exactly how this election is accomplished. You just can't take one verse of Scripture and peddle it all over the country. If you do, you're liable to make a lot of heretics. You got to put them all together. And that's exactly what Paul meant when he said to Timothy, study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. Here we are. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Who are they? Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.